This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. Today we welcome back Isaac Opatz.
In high school they told me you gotta go to college because those blue collar jobs don't exist anymore. In college I learned that a 4-year degree is about as useful as a high school diploma was before. Some of my friends got jobs in coffee shops and fell making musical writing poems. Some took out loans and went back to school. Some of them just went home. Everybody said don't get anybody pregnant and don't get a job in front of a computer screen. Not yet. Not yet. You've got your whole life ahead of you. Enjoy it while you still can. That's what everybody told me as if youth were the last gasp inside a plastic bag.
This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. I'm very pleased to welcome back to the program Isaac Opatz. Great to see you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I was realizing that it's only been a couple of years since we had the band in here, the Best Westerns,
yep.
And featured the music of the group on that program a couple of years ago, and yet you contacted the station here recently and let us know about a new project that you're working on and some new music coming out. And just some great stuff. So I'm really anxious to talk to you about the project and where you think everything's going with this. Mariachi Static is the name of the new album. And I want to let folks know, as we are starting the interview, isaacopatz.com is the website to go to find out more about what Isaac is doing. I-Z-A-A-K-O-P-A-T-Z, isaacopatz.com. Well, let's just get right into it. When we last checked in with you, we were talking about the Best Westerns and where things were going with that. And also we were hearing about your seasonal trail work up there in Glacier.
Yep.
And there's been several several folks we feature on the program that have either done trail work or work up in the fire towers around the state. Let's start with talking about how this project came about. I know that a big influence on how this came to pass in this way was building a relationship with a guy named Johnny Fritz. So we're going to give listeners a little bit of a background on him as well.
Yeah, okay. And that started in Missoula, because I had never heard of Johnny Fritz, who at that time went by Johnny Corndog, or was just transitioning back to his real name, which is Johnny Fritz. I went to a screening at the Big Sky Documentary Film Fest of a documentary about Johnny called Stray Dog. That was just kind of a profile. It was 20 minutes, and it really got my attention. He's just kind of he does whatever he wants. He sings really original songs, great lyrics. He's a runner. He just looks like he's having fun the whole time, making jokes, and does all this cool leather work, and he does airbrushing. He makes his own merch. Anyways, so I got really excited about his music, and I sent him an email. And he got right back to me. It was an email just saying, I have a band, the Best Westerns, in Montana. You should come play here sometime, because I know he was out looking for shows. And I read somewhere that he was born in Missoula.
I was going to say, he has a Montana connection, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Yeah. He spent maybe the first year of his life in Missoula. And then his family moved to Virginia. So I emailed him. He got back to me within maybe an hour. And from then on, we just kind of kept up a correspondence, and a few years later, I decided to move to Nashville. I emailed him and asked if he knew any places to live, and it turned out that he had a room in his house. And so without ever meeting the guy in person or even talking to him on the phone, he invited me to live with him in Nashville. So a week later, I drove out there, and I met him at the door, and he was doing leather work inside, and I thought that was so cool. I was a fan. I was nothing more than a fan at that point. But he took a chance, and it worked out. We've become friends, and he's come to Montana a few times, played at the Best Westerns. We did a short tour together. I went on a short tour with him in the Southeast a couple years ago. And when he moved to L.A. last year, he called me in the fall and asked if I wanted to help him do leather work. It was going to be Christmas is kind of his busy season, and he had more work than he could handle by himself. So, and I didn't know what I was going to do in the winter, which I never do because of the trail crew thing. So I drove down there and started doing leather with him, and he taught me, and I eventually got to the point where I could help him, and it worked out for both of us, I think. But during that time, he had introduced me to his friend Malachi, and that's who I recorded the record with.
If it could be hell, I'd rather never see you again. I'm just loving someone, you're the only one that's ever really had my heart in your hand. And no one's really got to me since. No one's really got to me since. No one's really got to me since you got to me. No one's really got to me since. Just keep going back and forth. I don't want to make the same mistakes anymore. I'd rather not know you than to have to go through what I did. But I will if you just say the word I will. Cause no one's really got to me since. No one's really got to me since. No one's really got to me since you got to me. No one's really got to me since. Stand up on it. You're the one that I sing about. All of my songs are down now. So when I'm with somebody else and someone pulls a guitar, I have to pretend says, no one's really got to me since you got to me. No one's really got to me since. Baby, I just wanna be passionate again. No one's really made the hairs of my heart stand upon. Stand upon it. No one's really got to me since. No one's really got to me since you got to me. No one's really got to me
I met Malachi. He was playing drums for Johnny at a show that I was opening. And just backstage, I met Malachi playing drums with Johnny, and there's a ping pong table. And we started playing ping pong just to waste time. And it was competitive. We're good, a good match. So we talked about playing tennis. We both played tennis. And then we made plans to play tennis. We became tennis partners. And through the course of that, just becoming friends and talking about music, he mentioned that he had a four-track. And so I went over one day after tennis, and we recorded the first song on the record. And that's how that happened.
I wanted to ask you something. Was the idea that he had specifically a four-track recording something that appealed to you? And to make sure listeners understand what we're talking about multi-track recording, you know, where one track is laid on top of another. Even computers, the most basic, probably phones, actually, now I think about it, way more tracks than that.
Yeah.
So what was it about four tracks? Was it just the limitations that would maybe make you think a little bit differently than having too many options? I'm just kind of curious.
Yeah. When he mentioned it, I really didn't, I didn't care. It could have been some new computer program he got and he wanted to record with me. And by that time, we were friends and it sounded fun, but he was really excited about it. I think he saw it as just, for his purposes, which is recording in his apartment and trying to do things quickly and just have fun with it, I think the limitation was, attractive to him, and he likes the sound of it.
And are we talking about tape, four-track
tape? Tape, yeah.
Okay, well, that's a big part of it, too.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was fun to watch, and the limitations became something that I did really enjoy. When he first mentioned it, I didn't know the difference, really, but, you could record a couple things on the same track and then bounce them over. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, you can only do so much and then you're done.
Yeah.
And you can't add another harmony or another guitar or some other effect. Like, after you fill up all those tracks, the song's over whether you like it or not. And so that was great. At the end of the day, we'd record for this first song. It took 8 hours to record or whatever. And then at 11 o'clock at night, we were done and there's nothing more I could do. We couldn't worry about it. Like, it just felt very finished and complete, and that felt great. And then once you kind of realize how it works, then we spent more time trying to make things as perfect as we could as we went along, but we still didn't get too worried about the details, because I think that's part of the sound. It's a little rough, or it's a little just vibey, and it's got soul and groove. It's not the tightest always, but we got it to where we were satisfied with it, and if we were moving along to it while we were listening back, then we just kept going.
Isaac, in recording Mariachi Static, I know one of the other things that I thought was interesting was the concept of leaving doors and windows open.
Yeah.
Just to let natural sounds come in, and if they came through, you had to stop. You had kind of had to make that a part of the whole process.
Well, we left the doors and windows open because it was March in L.A., and it was just beautiful outside. That was part of it, and and then there was a dog next door that would bark. We'd sometimes it would get in the take, and we'd do it again, or sometimes it didn't matter. There were helicopters going overhead. There was, you know, neighbors outside. We always had to kind of work around Malachi's neighbors. There was a guy who lived upstairs. We'd wait for him to go to work, and then before doing the drums, you know, we could only do drums from about noon to 6 o'clock. But the way it worked, we'd start with this tracking, we'd start with guitar and vocal. We'd add harmony and maybe some percussion, and then some kind of a, if there's any extra guitar, we'd add that. And then bass, and then by the time it came to do drums, we were kind of always right at this cusp where it was getting late in the day and we felt bad about, you know, waking up his neighbors or, so it was always this rush to like try to get the first tracking done before it was going to be obnoxious to his neighbors to do the drums.
Say what you want, I know it. Love me, I'd see it in your smile, feel it in your lips, say what you want. I'd love to believe you, but true love is obvious. Say what you want, I know it. If you love me, I might be sentimental, I'm not yet there for dumb. Say what you want, I know you got a better hold on your heart than you do. Text you wrote with your
This is John Floridis. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight, and we're talking today with Isaac Opatz. Isaac, I know we covered this probably to some degree in our last conversation when we were featuring the Best Westerns, but I want to get into songwriting. And it's kind of a classic question we all get asked as songwriters, you know, which comes first, the chicken or the egg, the lyric sure. or the melody, or do they come together? But I'm really curious because you do a really nice job of marrying those two elements, I think.
Yeah, it's generally, I'll just be playing guitar kind of mindlessly and come up with things I like. And if I like them well enough, I'll save them just in my own mind, or I'll remember how they go. But as far as actually starting a song, or when I think I'm starting a song, it's writing something that I feel like singing. And I'll usually get to a point where I want it to be a song. And it feels like there's a theme emerges or a line of some sort that I'd like to return to or write around. And so at that point, I start looking for chords and melodies that are going to live up to the lyrics or that are going to hold people's attention. And then I incorporate music that feels interesting to me. And then usually I kind of, just for my own entertainment, I kind of have to have some sort of lead line or hook that I can play just by myself. So a lot of my songs have some kind of run or little hook in between the verses or somewhere in there, just so I feel like when I play it by myself, it's not flat. It's not just me strumming chords. Mm-hmm. I like to be able to kind of follow the melody. I'm not the greatest guitar player, but as much as I can incorporate the melody or the hook into the chords and keep it interesting that way, I try to. But and then it can be a lot of tooth pulling after I know what I want the song to be, but I haven't quite returned lyrically to the theme. Or it can be, some of these songs took a long time, and some of them I took big breaks in between starting them and finishing them. But amazingly, they weren't diminished by that. Some of my favorite ones I've ever written are on the record, and they took the longest, and they really helped me too. There were a couple lines that I wrote that explained things that had happened to me that I hadn't been able to explain myself or figured out a way to say it before.
Musically, one of the things that I'm finding listening to this new project is the chord progressions are such that on the surface you think, oh, you know where they're going to go. You know, it's a pretty definable genre. And yet almost every song, there's this kind of left-hand turn that happens with the chord progression, sometimes more obvious than others, that makes it a little more interesting, a little more quirky, but still stays true to the to just kind of the general feel of the music. That's not an easy thing to do.
Yeah,
by
thank
any
you.
Means.
Well, yeah, thanks. That is very intentional as far as it keeps it interesting for me. And there's just always, as a songwriter, you're always a little paranoid that you're going to write something that sounds like everything else. I think there's a lot of power in kind of falling into a groove that people are expecting what's going to happen next, and then going off the rails a little bit and introducing some dissonance or some weird, a different feel, and kind of throw them off out of their comfort level a little bit, as long as you bring them back.
Yeah,
and then it feels that much better.
Yeah, that's what you do really well.
It
never comes across as, I'm going to go off the rails just to mess with my audience.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like, hey, you thought I was going to go there, but I'm going to go over here. Ha ha, aren't you?
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Aren't I more clever than you are?
Yeah.
It never comes across like that. It's always, you feel like the listener's kind of in on the joke, if you will.
Good. Well, good, yeah. Because there's also sometimes, also the songs just have, I guess, a lot of conflict in them. They're not just plain sunny old folk tunes. And so a lot of times it just gets to a place where the chord belongs there, where it might be kind of a weird jazzy chord, but it's not just there because it's weird and jazzy.
Isaac, I have to ask, with this new project, combining that with what we know about your work with the Best Westerns, what you've been talking about in terms of the things you're doing presently, and you've kind of talked about this a little bit in terms of your goals of life of eventually, maybe not yet, mm-hmm. but eventually, settling into a more, I don't want to call it standard lifestyle or more traditional lifestyle. But in the meantime, this is some of your very best work. Obviously, creatively, you're in a really good space. Where do you see that end of things fitting into maybe your overall life goals? It's not like I'm trying to analyze you here at Musician Spotlight.
If I could answer those questions. Yeah. I am excited about this, and I'm going to try to give it a real go as far as promoting it and getting it out there. Johnny Fritz is, he's better connected than I am with the music world, and he's been a great help. Malachi's manager is helping me try to find shows and tours. So my hope this spring is to get, break into the touring world and get hooked up with some band that is, has a tour set up and they just need an opener kind of thing. I just need to get it. I have full faith in the music. I just need to get it out there. And I don't, without much touring experience of my own, it's kind of a hard sell. But I think sooner or later, it will happen. I'll get some break, and I think it'll take off from there. And I think it'll happen. It's slow going right now, but just need some more exposure.
IzaakOpatz.com, IzaaK. OPATZ, IzaakOpatz.com is the website to go to find out what Isaac's up to in all in all things. Mariachi Static is the name of the most recent recording project. It's been great getting a chance to catch up with you again here on Musician Spotlight, and don't be a stranger. Let's keep in touch.
All right. Been great to be here. Thank you.
This is John Floridus. You've been listening to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today has been Isaac Opatz. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so through the Montana Public Radio website, mtpr.org. As well, you can find us at our own website, musicianspotlight.org. And we are also on Facebook and on Twitter. Our program is available as a downloadable podcast from those websites, as well as through iTunes. Musicians Spotlight is a production of Montana.